Firsto. All the news you need to start your day.
Good morning, you're listening to News Talk with me, Shane Beattie. It's Tuesday, March 10th. I hope you're well. Coming up.
Well, I don't even fill it anymore because it's too much, so half a tank.
Oil prices come down after soaring yesterday, and government to give millions to help people in Lebanon. Plus, we've all the other news making the headlines and the latest in sport and entertainment. But first up this morning, Donald Trump claims the war in Iran is pretty well complete, but has also threatened to escalate attacks if Tehran tries to halt the transport of oil. Iran's Revolutionary Guard says it will allow Arab and European countries to pass through the Strait of Hormuz, but only if they expel US and Israeli ambassadors. The waterway handles a fifth of the world's oil shipments. Addressing House Republicans in Florida, President Donald Trump claimed Iran had been days away from attacking the US and Israel.
Within a week, they were going to attack us 100%. They were ready. They had all these missiles, far more than anyone thought, and they were going to attack us. But they were going to attack all of the Middle East and Israel. And if they had a nuclear weapon, they would have used it on Israel.
Both oil and gas prices have eased after surging due to the conflict in the Middle East. A barrel of oil has dipped below $100, but is still 81% higher compared to before the war. Prime Minister Simon Harris says the government will keep everything under review as other areas of the economy may need support if the conflict in the Middle East continues. Accounting lecturer at UCC Dr. Oliver Brown says while high oil prices will drive up the cost of a wide range of products, there's very little the government can do at the moment.
The reality here is the government is very limited in what it is able to do within the private market, the interventions that it can make, deferring that largely to the EU. And the EU is willing to stand back on this a good bit based on the fact that we have experienced significantly higher prices of oil in the past, and we're sitting on a significant amount of reserves that have been held in place since the 1970s. So the initial expectation would be that the government will wait and see.
The government has announced €3 million in humanitarian support for Lebanon. The Foreign Affairs Minister and the Minister of State for International Development say it'll support its UN partners, providing urgent assistance to people displaced by the ongoing conflict. Tina Gates has more.
Ministers Helen McEntee and Neil Richmond say the funding demonstrates Ireland's continued support for the people of Lebanon following decades of Irish peacekeeping missions with UNIFIL. Minister McEntee says the humanitarian situation in Lebanon is deteriorating rapidly with 700,000 people displaced, while Minister Neil Richmond says the escalating conflict and Israeli airstrikes are causing further suffering. The funding will help provide shelter, food, sanitation and healthcare for hundreds of thousands of displaced people, especially children, older people and the vulnerable.
Ireland is behind on its targets to decarbonise residential heating, as set out in the Climate Action Plan. A new ESRI report shows deep retrofits and installations fell short of the goals set out for 2030 by the end of 2024. The study also shows building energy rating metrics, or BER, may misspecify emissions cuts because they're based on predicted rather than actual energy use. Dr. Muireann Lynch, ESRI Senior Research Officer, says we are significantly off track with the target.
What we're finding is that the target in terms of emissions reductions is not where we would want it to be. This is the 2030 target. The enabling measures to meet that target are primarily retrofitting and electrifying the residential heat sector, so replacing oil and gas boilers with heat pumps and all that kind of thing. But they don't seem to be happening at the pace that we would need in order to keep within these emissions targets.
Mary Lou MacDonald says families affected by the Chrysler tragedy shouldn't be left in limbo about what happened. The Sinn Féin leader met with the families yesterday and backed their call for a public inquiry into the deaths of 10 people in the explosion in the village in October 2022. Mary Lou MacDonald also called on the Justice Minister to meet with the families without delay.
I'm conscious that it's 3.5 years on and the families still have so many questions and no answers. It's now imperative that the Minister for Justice, Jim O'Callaghan, meet with the families without any delay. It's essential also that there is a public inquiry, and that public inquiry can happen alongside the criminal investigation.
Judges and courtroom staff are facing increasing levels of intimidation and threats of violence. It follows a warning from the President of the High Court over growing levels of aggression in the courts. A death threat and court staff hitting the panic button are among a list of incidents recorded by the court service around the country last year. The details were released to the journal Investigates. Its acting editor, Noel Baker, says some of the incidents resulted in Garda investigations.
Quite a few of the incidents are verbal rather than physical in nature. That said, for as a trade union who have a lot of members who work in various capacities and at various grades in the court system, they would have logged an even bigger number of incidents last year, which we've kind of outlined here as well. And that's violence, intimidation and aggression again.
British MPs have rejected a social media ban for under-16s. Supporters of the Australian-style ban said parents are in an impossible position over the online harm their children are being exposed to. Those against warned a ban could drive teenagers into unregulated corners of the internet. British MPs voted 307 to 173 against the age limit. The UK's education minister says they're now seeking views on the next steps on how to ensure children can have a safer and healthier relationship online. And in sport, in soccer, Shelburne and Shamrock Rovers shared the spoils in the SSE Airtricity Men's Premier Division last night. Defending champions Rovers fought back from 2-0 to rescue a 2-2 draw and a point at Tolka Park. Hoops boss Stephen Bradley wasn't surprised his team fought back, but feels they shouldn't have been in that position.
You don't do what these players have done for the best part of 7 years without having character and resilience and quality. Yeah, desire, that's all there. That's what the group is made of. So that was never in doubt. We're just really disappointed that we've given them a head start in the game.
And that is First Up for this morning. Please start your day with us again here tomorrow. In the meantime, you can check out all the news you need on newstalk.com.